Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have your company again this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, it's time to grab yourself a cuppa, maybe something stronger if you need it, and just sit back, relax, join the conversation. You're with Irene and Mariska, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Great song. Hey, you know, it's just quite neat to be back in the middle of the week, isn't it? Just to connect. You know, you've got the rush over of Monday, you're not at the weekend yet. I quite like Wednesdays.
Me too. And I actually love just getting together with you and the rest of the gang that are out there listening to us and having a cup of coffee and putting my feet up, because that's exactly what I do.
Absolutely. Hey, now, I remember we were just talking before we came on air, and you were saying something about people changing their lifestyles. Now, I know we've all been through a heck of, well, the whole world still is going through, but we've all been through a heck of a time. What changes have you seen?
Well, I think what's happened is that the lockdown, the 2 months lockdown, had people giving them time to reflect on their lives and what they do with their lives and how they do it. And personally me, I mean, I decided to live on the southern side of the bridge because it was closer to all my clients and I didn't have to put up with the bridge dictating to me when I crossed it, i.e., you know, peak hour traffic, etc. But during lockdown, I got hammered by one of my granddaughters that lives up in Pongaparaa saying, "Nan, you're just too far away. Get her back over the other side of the bridge. What's the most important?" And you know, she's dead right. If I have to spend 2 hours travelling for my work, I don't care. It means I'm closer to my grandies when they need me, etc. So I made that decision, and then I noticed when I went back and started communicating with my clients again that a lot of them have decided to move house and go to different places. Now, one of my clients who's been a regular for 12 years has just finished doing up her absolutely wonderful house in Renuera, and her family is very into horses, and they realised that they spend $1,000 a month on gas just going out to the horses 5 days a week, you know, for their kits and that. And they had quite a huge amount of horses, and they were paying for the paddock that they graze in and all the rest of it. And she's going, why are we doing this? You know, we don't need to be doing this. So they're selling their absolutely wonderful home that they've just spent the last 10 years doing up and moving out to a lifestyle block where they can be with the horses, one with the horses, and then travel to work rather than the other way around.
Interesting. And, you know, that something like that had to take us to think about where we were or how important family was to us, and or what we, as you say, what we were spending. You know, that's just, they could have bought Lincoln 4 lifestyle blocks probably by the time they'd been up and down with the horses and the grazing and everything else if they added it up over the years. Isn't that interesting that something as big as a little virus has stopped and made us think about things?
Yes, totally, completely, and changed people's lives. I personally have always been a strong proponent of vegetable gardens and having your own means of produce. Had it all my life bringing my kids up, haven't had any since I've been living on my own and you know, only one person to feed. But do you think I could get any of my kids interested in growing vegetable gardens? No. Well, not only have both my daughters, but half my grandchildren now have vegetable gardens. It was just something that COVID made them realise that, hey, getting fresh vegetables is the hardest thing for us to do at the moment, and if we had it in our back door, we would. So it's amazing. I mean, their gardens are brilliant, and they haven't even asked Nanny. It's like, hey.
It must have been after lockdown that we went into, I don't know whether it was Mitre 10 or one of those places, and I was needing some seeds because, you know, as everybody knows out there, I love to garden, and anyway, I was short of seeds, went there empty. And I was talking to the girl, and exactly that. She said, oh, no, she said they all just disappeared. I just think it's wonderful to have gardens back, and I think it's so special to have your own food, you know. I think that's such a positive. I hope it keeps up.
I think it's a huge positive, and I certainly hope it keeps up too. I think it'll be brilliant if it does. Put it this way, so many, probably 75% that I know in my life have started gardens. Even if only 25% of them keep that up, that's still a major positive as far as I'm concerned.
I know, and when you think of the quarter acre sections, and we used to have mandarins and lemons and, you know, a few fruit trees in the garden as well. I mean, that was just, I would love to see that come back, but I mean, obviously that's going to be by the by. Well, actually, it may not be, because they now do a whole lot of dwarf trees just for exactly that, for a lot smaller gardens. And there's nothing like going out and picking your own apple off your tree or your own mandarin, you know, when you see them for goodness knows how much in the supermarket, and they don't taste. Not like your one, your own ones anyway. Yeah.
I totally agree. The few times that I get produce coming from you, boy, do I appreciate it.
it's incredible, isn't it? I interrupted you.
Yeah, how are the blue eggs going?
Oh, they haven't started laying again yet. So with the non-commercial breeds, they have a wee break, bless them, and I think they should, you know, popping those things out every day. So, no, the bigger chooks, they've just started laying again, but the little blue ones haven't started laying again.
Okay.
And you see, now they've got a little challenge here, because I know whether they're laying or not. With the other chooks, I don't know which one lays which egg, because, you know, they're all, some of them are slightly browner than others, but I don't know, they're all pretty much the same. However, if these little blue ones don't lay, you know, I know that. They could be in trouble. But no.
You just stop being a bully. They'll lay when they want to. Look after them, keep them happy, and they will lay.
Oh, by gosh, I don't think that there are any more spoiled blinking hens on this earth than our ones are. I'm sure there probably are, actually. But, yes, they do get spoiled. You know what I gave them the other day? I gave them some porridge. I was reading an article, and it said, in winter, why not? When you have your bit of porridge, why not make up a bowlful? But I put a whole lot of different stuff in it, so it wasn't just porridge. And I didn't actually use milk. It was just the oats, really. So, but softening the oats, just like you would with your porridge. And they say to put a bit of cinnamon in there, a bit of garlic. And then I put some fruit. They love banana. They go mad over banana. So squished a bit of banana in there, and we've just got the end of our tamarillos at the moment, so or tree tomatoes, whichever you want to call them. Just plonked a whole lot of yummy stuff in there and made them this big bowl of porridge. By gosh, did they get into it. They just absolutely love it. Yeah.
Oh, God, I want to be one of your hens, I think. How nice would that be? How are the ponies surviving the storm?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it funny? We moan when it's too dry. We moan when it's too wet. And it is wet now. And I think we've had so much rain that the water's sitting on top of the ground when you get those deluges of rain that we're having up here in Auckland. So they're a little bit miserable. But they're okay. They're snuggled up in their they can snuggle up in their stable. I've decided I'm not going to lock them in because it's their home and they can do what they want. So sometimes you see the little idiots in the middle of the paddock and it's torrential rain and thunder and lightning. And I'm thinking, why are you not snuggled up in your stable? But it's there. They know it's there. They use it when they want to use it.
Fair enough. Yeah. I bet your river's raging now, though.
I bet you what, sorry?
I bet your river is raging now.
Yeah, there's a bit of water coming through, actually. And it's good. The cracks, we've still got cracks in the garden, though.
Really?
So they're almost closed up. Isn't that interesting? After this huge drought we've had and all of this rain we've had, there's still they're just about closed up. Yeah.
So that's why the dam isn't filling, because the ground is just soaking it all up. It's so dry. It's like a sponge and there's nothing left to go into the dam. Well, we're getting an awful lot of wind down here where I am. I'm constantly leaping out of my chair with an enormous bang against the side of the house as another branch falls off these big trees around me. So I don't know if any damage has been done out there, but I'm not going out to have a look.
Yeah, I know. I must say, for all of us New Zealanders out there, I think we're all getting a little bit of something over the next couple of days. But, yeah, it's pretty good out there. I must say, I can't remember whether I said this. I probably did. You know, I'm getting old and, you know, a bit doddery, I think, because I keep forgetting what I say to people. But that when we had that tornado that came through Auckland, which is quite unusual for Auckland, we don't have too many tornadoes. It was about kind of 5 minutes drive down the road from us. So we did go and have a look. I've never seen anything like it. It's just incredible.
Amazing.
Huge, huge mature trees with their tops ripped off. It's just incredible. What happens in those tornadoes.
It makes you wonder. You'd sort of like to experience it, but know that you're going to come out alive at the other end. Because the wind seems to be very selective where it hits, you know, like sometimes just the top of a house is moved and nothing else at garden level is touched. And yeah, the wind is just so selective at where it hits and how it hits. Did I tell you the story about the two water spouts that I experienced when I was sailing over the top of Papua New Guinea?
No. That would have been pretty an amazing sight.
Oh, yeah. I got an amazing photograph of them. But the funny thing was I'd been just drifting along, you know, doing about 1.5 knots with hardly any wind and sort of really, really into a total chill zone as you get when you're in a boat sailing around. I was sailing over the top of Papua New Guinea, which was a place I wasn't supposed to go anyway. The Indonesian government doesn't like you getting into into their country via that way. So I was right off land and wasn't really taking much notice of anything because nobody lived out there. I was the only one out there. And I'm just sitting relaxed in my cockpit and I noticed this big water spout behind me. There was a big dark cloud coming in behind me and then next thing this big water spout went bouncing down to the ground out of it. And I thought, oh, that's fascinating how that came out, because you actually see it peel out of the cloud and peel down to the water, you know, like somebody's putting a big, big handle down there. And I'm going, oh, that was interesting. And next thing, another one came out, and I went, oh, this is a photo opportunity. So I wandered downstairs, grabbed my camera, come back upstairs. In the days when you had old cameras, you didn't have, you know, cell phones sitting beside you, and took a photo of this water spout. And then suddenly went, oh, my God, it's coming towards me. Oh, my God, that's wind. Oh, my God, do something. I mean, I was so relaxed. And here my boat is being, you know, taken over by this huge tornado out in the middle of the ocean. And I'm busy taking a photograph. It was so funny. And I was on my own at the time, so. Anyway.
Amazing things that you see out there, you know the water spouts, and but even just the waves themselves and the clouds rolling in. I mean, you know, you see it well enough from land, but when you're out there and there's nothing else that you're seeing, you know, apart from those things, I'm sure they must just seem so much, I don't know, clearer or, yeah, whatever, yeah.
I actually had or have said many times to people that know me that Mother Nature actually paints her picture. She lets you know what she's doing. You just have to know how to read the signs.
Yeah.
So you can be in the middle of the ocean sailing along with a beautiful 15-knot breeze and having the time of your life, but you really do need to keep looking around you all the time, because Mother Nature does let you know what she's going to do. And sometimes you can see these storms that they move across in front of you or behind you, and they don't come anywhere near you. Nothing changes in your world. And other times they start coming towards you, but Mother Nature lets you know if they're coming towards you, you always get a wind change. Always. It just changes before you come. So you really need to be watching and know what you're watching for. But it can be quite brilliant to be sitting on your boat and seeing it. You know, you can see this beautiful, beautiful clear blue skies and fluffy clouds and this black thing with great big sparks going through it, just goes across and buries the blue sky and the fluffy clouds for a little while, and behind it is the blue sky and the fluffy clouds. It's incredible.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. And you know, I don't know whether it's even still about the Geographical magazine. Was it? It used to have amazing, amazing pictures of stuff like that. Well, just of scenery and stuff. And you kind of think, gosh, has that been photoshopped or anything? But no, I think, you know, you're right. When you see it and you just capture it at that moment, pretty amazing. Yeah.
And the Geographical magazine is brilliant for that. It's got photographers that are out there the whole time, and they make their living just by selling their photography to this one particular magazine. And they are so authentic and so brilliant. I just love reading that magazine. It's a awesome magazine and has maintained its standard all the way along. It's never compromised itself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it must be quite amazing being one of those photographers, but you kind of think, how long have you been out there to capture that one little thing? You know, I remember a while ago, one of our networking groups that we have, and it's usually at 7, it starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was a photographer in that group, and we all suddenly got this text message saying, sorry, I'm not going to make it. There's an amazing sunrise out there, and here I am at the top of Mount Eden or wherever he was, one of the mounts in Auckland, taking photos. So I'll see you next week. He was just like, he'd seen, and he sent us the photos afterwards as well, and they were amazing. But there was just that opportunity, and I think for any photographer, seeing those opportunities, you just got to drop everything else, don't you, and be there.
Yes, and they sort of live with their cameras. I did have one that I took from Thailand down to Langkawi in Malaysia one time, and he wasn't doing any underwater photography. He was really just wanting sunsets. And Thailand is very renowned for its very cerise coloured sunsets, particularly from a certain area in Thailand. And you'll get all the people all on the beach every night at 6 o'clock. And, yeah, it's just a gorgeous place. So he was wanting to go on a sailing boat and sort of combine work with pleasure and just get unusual sunsets, unusual cloud formation, yeah, all that sort of thing. he literally spent his whole time outside in the boat. I could never get him inside at all. He ate his meals out there. He was constantly looking around him and talking and taking photographs. And he said for every photograph he sells, he's probably taken anything up to 50.
Wow. Now, you imagine that in the olden days, because we've both been in the olden days. So for our younger listeners out there, you may not quite know what we're talking about. But remember in the olden days, you're right, when it wasn't digital. So you took all these photos and you then had to go and get the film produced. You know, you'd send it away and then all your photos would come back. And you're right, when you think back, there was only probably, I think they used to come in lots of 24 or something, didn't they, 12 or 24. Really, there was only a couple that were good. And yet you had to pay to get the whole lot developed, you know.
Yep.
So you can imagine the amount of photos that you take these days and you have to sift. I know we do. You know, one thing that Jeff and I do each year on the anniversary where we bought, when we brought our place, is we go round in the same spots and take photos to see year by year things changing. But the amount of photos we take, you know, you've got to sift through them. And you just didn't do that in the old days because you knew you had to pay to, you know, to get all of these things developed. But today with digital, they must just take millions and millions of photos and then just sit there and try and find that one.
Yes. I used to do a lot of photography in those days. I was never a professional, but when I was writing stories where they'd like photographs with them, I'd try and submit photographs. And so I was doing that sort of thing with a 24 film, what are they called?
Negatives. You had negatives.
Negative. 24 film negative. That's it. And then you'd have to send the roll off to the professional laboratory because the places that just did them in the supermarkets and that were not of professional standards. So the whole thing had to be packaged and shipped off to the laboratory, whichever was the closest one to wherever I was at the time. And then they would send you all the photographs back with the negatives. So then you'd go through all those photographs and just chuck them. And there's nothing else to do with them. You just chuck away the ones that weren't portraying what you really wanted to portray. So huge amount of wastage. With digital, you just flick back through them and go delete, delete, delete. It's just a matter of pushing a button. I love it. But it would be very interesting, because I don't do it now, I don't know, but it would be very interesting whether the magazines are happy with the quality of the digital.
I think the quality is getting better and better. I know with all your big fancy cameras now, your digital, you can do digital. But it would be interesting going back to have a look and putting them beside each other. But I think the definition that you get now, we've got quite a good camera. And so you actually have to look through it. It doesn't show it on on the screen behind. You actually look through it like you did, you know, in the old days. But the definition, when you zoom right into something that you have focused on, even though it's far away, when you zoom in, I was thinking of the chickens. It might have even been one of the tuis in the tree. We took a photo and we zoomed in and we could see every little line on its feathers. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, it is a good camera, granted, you know, and I'm sure all of our photographers would, they'd have even better cameras than that. But yeah, the definition that you can get, incredible. Yeah, something that you'd have to get right up close to in the old days to get so much definition. Yeah.
Well, I do notice a lot of the professional photographers nowadays are going back to using filters and big lenses, you know, whereas with digital and the zoom in and zoom out, they sort of dropped away from using and changing lenses all the time, but now they're going back, and I sort of wondered why that was.
And here's a tip a photographer once told me. They said, don't have to stand and take a photo, lay down, sit down, whatever. Isn't it funny? I thought, well, yeah, of course. He said, look up. You know, and I thought, wow, that's a great opportunity. I reckon we should have a bit of a photo competition. So our listeners out there, why don't you send in some of the great photos, post them up on our Facebook page. Everybody has a different idea of what a great photo is, but I'd love to see some of the photos that you've taken. And, just pop up, kind of post one up there, and we'll all share some of those great memories that we have. I think that's about it. I think that's all we've got time for today. There's another Wednesday afternoon gone. Uh-oh, it means we're going to have to get up. It's time to go and get the kids from school or back to work, whatever it is, out of our little bubble. We'll see you all the same time, same place next week.
Sugars, brought to you by Delaquo Communication, delaquo.co.nz.